what you want to say to each and every one of us and to the church, so that we would be encouraged, so that we can go on with you, that you can measure the churches. Speak so clearly to your church. Amen. Praise the Lord. You took away that diagram so quickly.
It's okay.
We can hang it up just as quickly. Praise the Lord.
Nein, vielleicht nicht nötig.
Perhaps it's not necessary. We all have the picture.
Wisse Geschwister,
in the
letzten
back concerning the temple compound.
Ja, Jahrzehnten, der letzten 100 Jahre. Haben viele Heiligen, viele
the last 100 years, many saints, many brethren have made diagrams with different concepts, but today we really profited from them. Especially
von allen diesen Bildern plus
from all these diagrams, all these pictures, and that what we've read in the book of Ezekiel, we can make some important improvements.
Und ich glaube, der Herr wird uns schon sehr viel zeigen.
And I believe that the Lord will show us
so ein Bild zu
much.
Sehen ist eine Sache.
To see such a picture is
aber
one thing,
Bedeutung
but
und
to get the spiritual meaning and the significance is a different thing.
Das ist wichtig.
What is important for the building up of the church today, that is what is important. Truly, we do need the spirit of wisdom and revelation from the Lord. More than ever before. The Lord always has more to show us. Do not think that we know everything already. No. It's not possible to know everything. Because the riches of the Lord is unsearchable. It's not possible to know it all. If we already know enough, then the Lord would already be here. And the fact that the Lord is not come yet, it goes to show that the building of the church has it's not complete yet. I believe that most of us, many of us, have very little idea concerning the blueprint of this temple in Ezekiel. You know, it's not so easy to grasp it either. But praise the Lord, the time has come, at least for us here in Stuttgart, during this time, that the Lord will show us this blueprint. Just like Ezekiel, we want to have such a heart for the building of the Lord. Same as Paul, John, and Peter. All the apostles had such a heart for the building up of the church. And God's word shows us so clearly what His concept is. We should not build the church according to our own concept, according to our own standards. Just like our brother shared this morning in his testimony, God's standard is different from our standard. Isaiah said it a long time ago that his thoughts are much higher than ours, and his ways are certainly different from our ways. And when it concerns the building up of his church, you see that God is very exact. With Noah, God was very exact. The same with Moses. When Moses was to build the tabernacle, God was very exact with him and told him very strictly that build according to what was shown on you on the mount. Once again, I talk about the building of Solomon. God had shown everything to David through the Holy Spirit, how he was to build. And now we also see with Ezekiel, everything was to be measured. When we read these three chapters, it's just numbers. A brother had asked, what are we going to share in this conference? It's all numbers. Yes, what should we do? I told Toby, you're a mathematician. Okay, you can share. Surely you know numbers better than I do. But we have to see that even the numbers in the Bible are very meaningful. If we don't know the significance of all these numbers, then these chapters in Ezekiel are meaningless to us. Then we can do away with these chapters. But even the numbers were not discovered by humans, but it comes from God. Already at the creation, we see that there were 7 days. It's so good. The number 7, we saw that this morning. It's so important. It's so important. Everything that God did, His work had to do with the number 7. And even now, we're waiting for the time, for a point in time when the last 7 years would begin. Praise the Lord, we saw in Daniel already, and today we're waiting for this last week, the last 7 years. And then we also saw in the book of Revelation the number 7, the 7 churches in the region of Asia. Why did the Lord not choose 5 churches or 6 churches? But there's 7 churches. And then there are the 7 seals in this wonderful book. This scroll to the right hand of God, there are also 7 seals. Why not 5 or 4? Why 7? And then, when the 7th seal was opened, then there were set trumps. Why 7? And then the last trumpet had 7 bowls. Praise the Lord. And in the end, at the end of the 7th bowl was done, God's judgment was finished. God's work was also finished. So the number 7 has a wonderful spiritual meaning in the Bible. So we should not think that the numbers are unimportant to us. They're very, very important. Why do you think that the entire wall there, that it's 500 cubits times 500 cubits? Why not 450? Or 499? That's even better. All stores, you know, they don't write $5, but they mark it as $4.99 so that people would think that it's cheaper. Then you save 1 cent. Why did the Lord not use 499 cubits, but 500? What does the number 5 have to do with us? What does the number 5 mean? We all need to see that also, right? So everything that was recorded, what God had measured, They're all very important things to us. The number 6, for instance, that's the number of man. Mankind. God created man at the end of the sixth day. So whenever the Bible mentions the number 6, it always have to do with us, mankind. But praise the Lord, this cubit, one reed or one rod is 6 cubits. But this cubit is not an ordinary cubit. It's one cubit plus one hand breadth. This is important for us to see that God's standard is different from our standard. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we should not read the Bible with our natural concepts. Then we always come too short. Because our concepts are totally different. Oftentimes, I think I understood something. But 1 year later, I saw that, oh dear, I saw the wrong thing. It was too short. The Lord had much more for me to see there. Right? And how often have we had the experience that we measured incorrectly, like the word in says that we were presumptuous. In German, it's mismeasured. It's a sin of presumption. And the Christians in the last 2,000 years have fought so much with another because each one measured God's word and understood God's word differently. And that's why there were all these fightings. I think it is so because my standard is only this long, and you think it's different. You see things differently, and perhaps you think that's longer. But each one has his own standard, and in the end, there's confusion. That does not work. In those days in Europe, there were Spanish pesetas, Italian lira, the different currencies, and there were different currencies. You always have to exchange the currency, etc. It was so complicated, but when we only use one currency in Europe, that's the euros, it's so simple, then there's no confusion. Otherwise, we always have confusion. When I go to Asia, In the end, I don't know. Is this Thai money? Or is this money from Taiwan? Or is this Filipino money? Or is it Singaporean dollar? Or is it RMB from China? My goodness. I always have to carry so many different currencies in my pocket. And it's such a pain in the neck. So difficult when each one has his own currency, each one has his own standard, each one has his own understanding, then we'll just fight. The rapture. How many raptures are there? Before the tribulation, after the tribulation? How many raptures are there? You say, oh yeah, Paul said we will all be raptured into the air. But John said the overcomers would be raptured to the throne. So who's right? So would we be raptured into the air? Or would we be raptured to the throne? And the first fruits would be raptured into the heavenly Zion. So, oh dear, would you be raptured to the throne or to the heavenly Zion? And then during the tribulation, when some are raptured, they'll be standing on the glass sea of glass. Paul didn't talk about the sea of glass, but that was Paul. But in the end, the Lord used John and said some would be standing on the sea of glass. The man-child on the throne and the first fruits with the Lamb in a heavenly Zion. And then at the end, we're all in the air. In the air. Oh, I've flown with the Lufthansa, with the airline, so often. Or Swiss Air. Do you think the rapture is easy to understand? How would you measure that? With what kind of a standard would you measure that?
Errettung.
Salvation.
Bist du gerettet?
Are you saved?
Dann warum
yes. Then why does Peter say that you have to grow unto your salvation? You're saved already, right? But there's much more to be saved. Where is it written you have to be saved more? Then why does Paul say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Oh dear, I thought salvation, it's not out of work, it's free, it's the gift of God and through faith. And not out of work so that you would not boast. Isn't that so? Ephesians chapter 2. Then what did Paul say? Paul, did you contradict yourself? You wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 that salvation is not out of work, not out of your own strength, but it's through faith and it's a gift of God. And then in Philippians chapter 2, you say, work out your own salvation. Oh, Paul, please. And then James comes around and said, faith without works is dead. They say, oh dear. And Luther said, James has to be taken out of the Bible. My goodness. Then we get hot. You think that it's so simple for you to understand the Bible? We need His grace. That's why Paul said, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Otherwise, we all would fight with one another. Some would say that you would lose your salvation. And some say, no, once you're saved forever. And who is right? Are you born again? Yes? Can you be unborn again? If you can be lost again, then you can be unborn again. Can you be unborn again? Can you undo the birth? It doesn't mean that you're not born, but then you were already born, and then you have to undo the birth. When you say so-and-so was not born, then he was never there. But you're already there. So what is the opposite? How is the working back of the regeneration? There's no such thing. So if there's no such thing, you can not disappear again. Today you're a child of God. Tomorrow you're not a child of God. And the day after, then you repent and once again you're a child of God again. So how many times will you be regenerated, born again and then unborn again? So do we want to fight endlessly? Lord Jesus, it's not so simple. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has to open our eyes. We have to see something.
Nicht wahr?
Right?
Der Herr muss uns erwecken,
the Lord has to awaken us and give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need wisdom from above in order to grasp God's word fully. And Paul said, not that I have already gained, attained, but that I would press forward. I would press on. I would want to reach the goal. I would want to reach the goal. It's the same with the building of the church. We are the church, praise the Lord. But we're not yet a more glorious church. The Lord wants a church that is glorious. One that has no wrinkles and no spot, but that she's holy and without blemish. Are we like that already? And if we constantly we're constantly lost, then we'll never reach a goal. Many people have misunderstood Hebrews chapter 6. And it says, if you fall, you're done with. You cannot repent once again. What can you say? If you fall away, to renew them again to repentance. What can we say? Lord Jesus, have you experienced that you were lost again? No? Are you such a good man? You never made a mistake, never sinned? You're excellent, perfect. Hallelujah. You see, after so many years, he never had the experience that he was lost again. Or have you? How often? How long have you been a Christian? Over 30 years. You were not lost again? No? Are you a perfect man? You've always doing the right thing?
Oh, Herr.
Oh, Lord. I've never seen someone, I've never heard or seen someone who believes this teaching that you can get lost again, that he testified that he was lost once again. Have you? So please, the Lord has to open our eyes, brothers and sisters. We need much grace from the Lord. The Lord really would like to have such a wonderful church today. And I am convinced that the Lord will show us much more in these days, so that he may gain his glorious church. Now, Lord Jesus, let's come back to the matter of the holiness or sanctification. Based on Ezekiel, we have seen that in this temple, God is a holy God. Really so. It's so wonderful. When we want to see this holiness, then we have to see this picture. We have to grasp this picture in Ezekiel. Then you would notice that my God is holy. Otherwise, we read Peter chapter 1, where Peter quoted. He says, "Be holy, because I am holy." I believe many of us don't quite understand what that means. And based on this wonderful picture, we see that there are different separations. There's holiness, but there are different degrees of holiness.
So, Lobe den Herrn.
So praise the Lord.
Wir werden von einem Grad,
we would go from one degree of holiness further to a higher degree of holiness.
Ja, so zeigt uns dieses wunderbare Bild.
This is what this wonderful picture shows us.
Lass uns noch ein Vers lesen,
let's read
was wir
one verse,
heute Morgen nicht gelesen haben.
One that we did not read this today. Isaiah
35,
verse 8.
Ja,
Herr. Amen.
Und dort, nämlich wo der Herr gewirkt hat,
there where the Lord had worked, there would be a highway shall be there and a road. How many streets? There will be a highway and a road. And what is this highway called? It's called a highway of holiness. How many streets do we have in the church? One?
Eine Straße. Wie heißt diese Straße?
What is this street called?
Der Heilige Weg.
It's called the Highway of Holiness. Do you have such a street in your church in Reutlingen?
Das heißt, der Heilige Weg.
It's called the Highway of Holiness.
Wunderbar.
Wonderful.
Kein Unreiner wird darüber hinziehen.
The unclean shall not pass over it.
Er wird
but
für sie sein.
It shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. It's a simple one instead of a fool. What does Luther say? Luther says, a fool. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful that we have such a street in the church that even a fool cannot go astray. It's so complicated in the church. Is this so complicated in the church? Is it so hard to go this way, the highway of holiness, that we call the highway of holiness? The Lord says, even a fool shall not go astray.
Danke schön. Ich habe es vergessen, deine Wohnung da oben. Selbst ein Tor geht nicht in die Irre.
Although a fool shall not go astray. Praise the Lord.
Haben wir nicht so eine Straße in
do we not have such a street, such a road or highway in the church?
Ich möchte euch sagen,
I'd like to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, when we go this way of holiness,
du gehst nicht verloren.
You will not get lost. You will
das
not go astray.
Nicht,
it doesn't mean that you will be lost with regard to your salvation,
aber du gehst nicht irgendwo in einem
but you will not go astray.
Komischen Weg.
You would not go a strange way.
Nur wenn wir nicht heilig sind, dann
only when we are not holy, then the way that we our way becomes crooked, then there are problems.
Wer aber nach der Heiligung trachtet,
but one who looks to holiness and wants to be holy as he is holy, it is very difficult for you to go astray or go the wrong way. We would be deceived and distracted and get into a wrong way. We'll be led astray. Well, you know why? It's because we're unholy. But whoever wants to go the way of holiness, this highway of holiness, it would be very difficult for you to go astray. Because this holiness is a sign, it's a wonderful sign of our God. It doesn't matter to me how gifted you are. And how you can convince others. You have this ability to convince others. It doesn't matter whether you have this ability to convince others, but I want to see how holy you are. Everything that is not holy doesn't matter to me how nice it sounds. In those days, we have experienced this. We had so many teachings and the so-called the high visions. But in the end, what did we see? There's so much uncleanness, unholiness. So many things that are defiled, that's blemished. When we see that, brothers and sisters, then we should stop. No, God's way is a way of holiness. Our God is a holy God and a righteous God. When we see a lot of unrighteousness and when we see a lot of unholiness, I have to tell you, I don't care what kind of a teaching you have, it doesn't matter to me. Holiness is a way of God, the way of life. You cannot say that we have so much life and yet we're not holy. That's why it says, be holy. It's a command from God, for He is holy.
And
that's why we have to see in the church today, we only have this wonderful way. If we go this way, then we reach the goal. Why? Because holiness is the substance of God Himself. You say you have life, but you're so unholy in so many things. That's not holiness. You say you walk according to the Spirit, but I don't see the holiness. Then how are you going to walk in the Spirit? It is not possible. You say, yes, you live Christ. But you're so proud, so impossible in your behavior. Does Christ behave in such a way? So, holiness is important. And this did we not read in 2 Corinthians this morning? We mentioned it there. What does Paul say in chapter 6? That
in der Furcht des Herrn.
We would, chapter 6,
ja, Kapitel 7, Vers 1, nicht 6,
chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, that we would perfect holiness in the fear of God.
Wir diese Trennung machen.
That's why we have to make this separation.
In Ezekiel haben wir gesehen, welch eine wunderbare
and in Ezekiel, we see this wonderful separation. You think that you are already inside and you're holy, but you see that there's another part that's even holier. Then you see that there's another wall there. Then you go higher until you enter in the end. So praise the Lord. We all need to see this way very clearly. We cannot repeat much, but this is a burden of the Lord. Whoever reads Ezekiel has to see this. This is very important. This is a very important emphasis. So in the church, the more we draw near to the goal, how does your church look like? The church would become holier, more sanctified. The closer we get to the goal, the holier the church would be. And this holiness, the psalmist says, is the ornament or the adorning of the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. What makes the church beautiful? It's the holiness. The holiness. And the Lord wants to have a glorious church. A church that is holy and without blemish. And Paul also said that before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us and predestinated us that we should be how? That we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love. Before the foundation of the world, God had already determined that. And He wants to achieve this with us today. Especially our young people. We need to know that. Lord, I pursue holiness. Some young people would say, may I go to the movies? I cannot tell you you're allowed to do so or not allowed to do so. Of course, I would counsel you. What is there in the movies? Does the movie, the film makes you holier? Now, when you come out of the movie theater, you feel that you're more holy, more sanctified? Who has had this experience among the young people? After you come out of the movie theater, you feel that, oh, you're so holy.
No?
Sophia? After you come out of the cinema, you say, oh, you're so holy. How about that?
Oh, Lord.
I believe it's just the opposite. But if you're not a person who pursues holiness and you do not see this wonderful film that we are showing here, what the brothers drew is not a film, it's a vision, right? It's a heavenly vision. If you see that, I am convinced when you get out of the meeting there, it says, Lord, I want to be holy. Or not, right? Brother, don't you have this sense or feeling after the meeting this morning? Don't you have the desire to be holy? Amen. I'm convinced. But I'm convinced that when you get out of the movies, my goodness, even in the night you'll be dreaming of such things. I don't believe that you would be more holy. So then you have to ask, may I go to the movies or may I not? Is that a question of whether you may or you may not? The question is not the question whether you may or you may not, but the question is, are you a person who pursues holiness? Do you have such a heart, Lord? For the sake, for your name's sake, for the church, for the building, for your return, for your kingdom, I want to pursue holiness. If we have such an attitude, then you already know what you have to do. Then no one has to tell you whether you're allowed to do it or you're not allowed to do so. Praise the Lord. Because we've seen this wall. Because we've put on the new man. And because through the power of resurrection, we've put on Christ, the new man. Praise the Lord. We have a different standard. We have a different measurement, and our standard is now different. Then praise the Lord. There's not much problems. Praise the Lord.
Jetzt kommen wir
so now we come
weiter, sonst kommen wir nicht weiter.
Further. Otherwise, we can't get any further. We're still at the wall. That's not good. We want to enter in. Praise the Lord. There's not only one wall. There are also the gates. There are three gates. Those are not the soccer goals. There are three gates. No one ever built a gate like this, or no one has ever seen a gate like this, but Ezekiel saw it. This gate, oh, I have to tell you, after I saw this gate, I have to say, Lord, do we have such a gate in the church? Do we build such a gate in the church? Such a gate is so wonderful. Here we have this diagram again. We want to have the diagram of the outer of the gate. I do appreciate the brothers who have done such a job for us. We do have to thank the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then indeed, a picture speaks much better than a thousand words.
If
you see this picture, then you see what kind of a gate we have here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Okay.
We've got two gates.
Yeah, prima. Amen. Da sind die Tore.
These are the gates.
Lobe den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Wo ist mein Zollstock?
Now, where's the stick now? Here we see an outer gate, three outer gates, and three inner gates. So here's an outer gate, and here's the next page is an inner gate. Actually, these two gates are the same in the measurements and in everything. And yet, for the outer gate, it looks like this. And the inner gate is like a mirror image. The porch here would be here. And then here, in the inner gate, the porch becomes the entrance. It's just a mirror image. It's not easy to understand. You have to read Ezekiel very carefully, then you will find out. See, on the outer gate, the porch becomes the gate entrance and the inner gate. And vice versa. The inner gate is exactly the same. And many thought that the inner gate is drawn the same way as the outer gate, but that's not the case. There's a wonderful meaning that we would be seeing later on. But here we have to see the wall is 6 by 6 cubits. That is the wall here. The wall is only so wide here. It's 6 cubits wide, the depth of the wall, and it's 6 cubits high. But the gate is so long, it goes all the way in. Have you ever seen such a gate? The wall is so thin when compared to the entire gate. Normally speaking, if the gate
nur so breit ist, dann
were only so wide, if the wall, if only so wide, then the door is even smaller or thinner than the wall, isn't it?
Es ist halt immer so.
It's always like
Aber
that. But here we see
Tor,
that this gate here,
so tief drin,
it goes so deep, it goes in so far.
Ein wunderbares Tor.
It's a wonderful gate.
Und kein einfaches Tor.
And it's not a simple
Und hier
gate.
Sehen wir, es gibt
And here we see there are the guard chambers, left and right. Three on the side and three on the other side. That means there are six guard chambers. Three on one side and three on the other side. Have you ever seen such a gate? And then it's so long. The passage all the way. It's 50 cubits long from the entrance all the way to the porch. And it's 25 cubits wide. In the entire Bible, I'd firstly like to ask, who is the door? It's not what is the door, but who is the door? Who is the door? The Lord is the door. Where is it written? John
10.
We can't find a word that's clearer than in John 10. Of course, there's another word that Paul said, that the Lord is the access. Through Him, in one Spirit, we all have access to the Father. The Lord said, I am the door. Did the Lord not say that? The Lord is the door. The door to where? It's not so simple, let me tell you.
The fact that the Lord is the door,
then I have to ask you, how does the door look like? How does the door look like? Then we have to come to Ezekiel and we see how the door looks like. This is how the Lord looks like. The Lord is such a wonderful door. Just as we've seen this morning, there's seven steps going up in order to come to the entrance, to the threshold. And this threshold is as wide as the wall. It's 6 cubits. Praise the Lord. This number 6 is again here, at the entrance. That means the Lord as a man, the Lord who became flesh, is the entrance. The Lord did not just say that He's the door, but He's also the way to the Father. No one can go to Him except through me. So we see there's such a door here. Have you ever had such a concept that the door, the Lord as a door, is such a gate? With guard chambers left and right. And then and there are arches here. One arch here, and another arch there. There are three arches. It's not that simple. Then we have to see, brothers and sisters, if the Lord had not come to prepare this door for us, how would you then enter in? Let's read the word together now concerning the door. Everybody knows John chapter 10. John 10 and 14, we all know that. But let's read Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians 2, Vers 18.
Ephesians 2, 18.
Denn durch ihn haben wir beide,
for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Durch ihn,
it's through him
haben wir alle,
we all
durch einen Geist, or in
have
einen
access
Geist,
by or in one
Zugang
Spirit
zum Vater.
Access to the
und
Father.
Sagt,
and the Lord says,
zum Vater außer
no one can come to the Father except through me.
Ich bin der Weg.
And he says, I am the way, I am the door.
Und durch ihn haben wir den Zugang.
And through him we have access.
Hier,
and we have another verse here in chapter 3,
Vers 12, sagt
verse 12.
In welchem wir den
Paul said, in whom we have boldness, boldness
durch seinen Glauben.
And access with confidence through faith in him.
Und auch in Römer 5 zum Beispiel, wir haben den Zugang.
And in Romans 5, we have access
lesen wir noch ein Vers,
to the grace.
Petrus 3, 18, 1. Petrus, ja.
And then we read 1 Peter 2:18.
Damit wir mal das sehen können. Ja. Amen.
So we can see it here.
Denn auch Christus ist einmal wegen der Sünden gestorben, der Gerechte für die Ungerechte.
Um it's 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He is the access. And then we also have to read 2 Peter briefly. It all has to do with the access. Peter said in verse 10 and 11 of chapter 1, therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, namely what he mentioned above, you will never stumble. It's so wonderful. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. So the entrance is not that simple as we have imagined.
Hier sehen wir zuerst mal, gibt's ein
so we see äußere. That first of all there's an outer gate.
So, wenn wir hineinkommen, es ist sicherlich durch Jesus Christus.
And we das come in surely it's through Jesus Christ. The entering in is not a problem here.
Denn tatsächlich, der Herr ist
because indeed the Lord is our door.
Aber das Problem ist,
but the problem is how far have you entered in? How far have you gone in? That is a question. If the door were so simple, like this door, like the glass door here to the hall, in the hall, you only need to step in. One step and you are in. But here, do you think that you can enter in with one step? You can enter in all the way? How many steps do you need to get all the way in?
Heidi.
Heidi? This is my lifelong.
So long, my son. Nein, das ist zu lang.
No, that's too long.
das
no, that would be too a bit too long.
Aber mindestens mit dem äußeren Tor,
but at least with the outer gate, it's not, you won't need your lifetime. I'm sorry, that would be too long. That would be a bit too long. He says, it takes a lifetime. No, but it's not that simple. It's not that one step and you're in. You may be in, but you're just at the threshold. Just like Peter said, you're saved. But you're barely saved. Peter used a word, when the righteous are barely saved, then how would the unbelievers receive a righteousness, would receive a righteous judgment? If we would grasp this principle, we enter in here at the threshold. Are you in? Yes, you cannot say that you're not in, but you're barely in. You are in. How can I describe this?
I can't describe it.
I don't need to describe it. You are just stayed at the threshold. Many just stayed at the threshold and did not go further. Yes, I am saved. The Lord has died for me. You know, actually, the width of the entrance is 10 cubits. It's in chapter 40, verse 11 of Ezekiel. But it is also written that the width of the gate is 13 cubits. That means it's 3 cubits more. That's the width of the gate. The Bible talks about the number 3. Of course, that has to do with resurrection, but it also has to do with the triune God. And this number 3 is divided into 1.5 on this side and 1.5 on the other side. That means to say, the Lord, who's in the middle, he has died for us. He was split up like the cleft in the rock that was struck. So through his death and through his resurrection, in his incarnation, we entered in. We entered in. But then, when you come in, you notice that the gate entrance here is the number 10. The number 10. When you think of the number 10, what do you think of? 10. You think of the 10 commandments, of course. When we talk about the number 10, you immediately think of the 10 commandments. Have you kept all the commandments? Definitely not. Then how would you then come in? Exactly. Where is it written? Cannot hear.
Nein, das ist nicht ausreichend.
It's not enough what you said. But you have to read Romans chapter 8. The 10 commandments, that's the law of God. That are the righteous requirements of God. And whoever comes enters in, he has to fulfill all the righteous requirements of God. But can you do that? Can you please read it for us in Romans chapter 8? Beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Amen. That is it. Without Christ, and what He has done for us, when Jesus was living on this earth, He fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God for you and for me. And that's why we see that this entrance, the gate entrance, is 10 cubits. And who could enter in. No one actually could, but praise the Lord. The Lord has fulfilled all the righteous requirements for us. Now, He fulfills these righteous requirements in us. Praise the Lord. It's because He has entered into you. So, we see that we can enter in. And do you think that it's so simple to come in? You can say, Hallelujah, I can do whatever I please because the Lord has fulfilled everything for me, so I can just run in. And then come in so quickly. Do you think it's that quick? It's not that quick. Then you would notice that when you enter in, there's a guard chamber on the left and on the right. My goodness. Last year I did tell you that I don't like to fly so much anymore because of all the security controls. Before, there weren't so many security controls, but today, it's so complicated. You have to take off your shoes, you have to take off your belt, then you have to take out your computer, and then also have to take off your jacket, and you're not allowed to take this, you're not allowed, so many things you're not allowed to take with you, and sometimes if you've forgotten, then it will be just taken away. It's so complicated. And then there's a long line, long queue. And one has to wait so long. And then one would get to this security checkpoint. Not only your things have to go through, you also have to go through. If it's only the things that go through, but you yourself have to go through. And now it's even worse. Now you would be x-rayed. You stand there with your hands in the air. It's so complicated to enter in. Let me tell you, when I just have to fly and I think about it, I don't like to come anymore. I rather stay at home. Do you think you can just enter in like that? It's so simple for you to enter in through this gate. Is it really so simple? We say, Lord, you're the door. Praise the Lord, He is the door. But there's a guard chamber. And this guard chamber is once again 6x6. You will be measured according to the dimensions of the new man. But if I'm one who lives according to the flesh, and I'm still in the old man, and I carry my old man with me to enter in, do you think you can get through this first security checkpoint? Do you think that your old man and your outer man, your flesh, etc., and yourself could get through it? Could you get through or not? Will the Lord say, oh, it doesn't matter? Beep. It would be a long beep. My goodness, what did you carry with you? Then the guard would come and says, what have you brought with you? What did we hear there? What is it? What did you carry with you? Your old man? How come you still dragged your old man along with you? You want to enter in, right? Then please leave that outside. Are you willing? Are you willing to leave it? Really? Do you mean to say that this gate is so simple you can just enter in? And then you bring so much of yourself in that you have just dragged so much with you. And then you would like to enter in to see the Holy God. You say, oh, I take the blood of the Lord. That's good. And good and fine, but then those things you have to leave outside. But you say, oh no, I take the blood, but I like to take that thing with me too. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Links und rechts.
Left and right.
Lob den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Es ist nicht so einfach,
it's not that simple to enter in.
Wenn du nicht glaubst,
if you don't believe me,
wenn der Herr zurückkommt,
viele when the Lord Leute comes sagen, back, Herr, many would say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? There's not, Lord, 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 Lord. And the Lord says, I do not know you.
Weil der Herr wird nicht alles zulassen.
Because the Lord would not let everything in.
Bei der Hochzeitsfest
at the wedding feast,
ist doch irgendjemand
didn't someone sneak in without a wedding garment?
Du
and the Lord say, hey you, my friend, how did you get in? How did you enter in?
Ohne Hochzeitskleid.
Without a wedding garment.
Dann hat der Herr gesagt,
then the Lord said, carry him out.
Er darf nicht hier sein.
He's not allowed to be here. We should not think that the Lord would allow everything. No, it is also written, just like what Paul said, everything has to go through fire. What did Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 1? I'd like to read to you.
Ja, Herr Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Kapitel 1, Vers
chapter 1,
17. Erste Petrus, Entschuldigung.
First Peter, chapter 1, verse 17.
Ach, Kapitel 1 zuerst mal. Ja. Er sagte, Vers 6,
oh, let's first we read in verse 6.
Wenn ihr jetzt
in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you know, you have been grieved by various trials. Oh, you have been grieved by various security checks. I'll use a more modern word, because in those days there were no security checkpoints. There were just trials. There were just various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have to go through tests.
Weil wir tragen mit uns noch so viele
because
Sachen.
We still carry with us, we still carry with us so many things. Visible?
Klar und einfach zu erkennen.
Are they easy
manche
to
be,
do you see? Some things are hidden, they're
nicht
inward.
So einfach zu
they're
sehen.
Not so easy to see.
So, wenn du reingehst,
so when you go through, you know the Lord is very coolant. You see all these arches there.
Das ist so gut. Kannst du dir vorstellen,
it's so good.
Bogen gibt, sondern nur Prüfungen und Prüfungen.
If there are no arches, then there are just tests after tests. Then we don't just have one guard chamber, but one, two, three, four, five, six guard chambers without the arches. Do you like that? Praise the Lord. There are the arches there. Sometimes it's good to pause a little. The Lord is so accommodating. He has those arches there. It's flexible here. The Lord made an arch. He gives you some room. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, how did he deal with his disciples? Was he just strict without arches? How many arches did the Lord
sehr viel Bogen eigentlich.
Make? Actually, ja. Quite a few arches.
So hier sehen wir durch die Gnade des Herrn.
You see, through the grace of the Lord, you go through one test.
Eine Prüfung, dass alles bloßstellt bei
it's not possible that through one test and you'll be fully exposed, in the end you would die. You know, if this X-ray, this radiation is so strong, how much? How strong does this radiation have to be?
So stark sein, was nötig ist.
It just has to be strong, as strong as it is needed. Otherwise, if it is super strong, you enter in and you won't be able to walk out again.
Meinst du, wenn so eine starke Strahlung gibt, da
you know that if there's such a strong radiation, you come out on the other side, you'll be shrunken.
Dann bist du wirklich ganz fertig.
Then you're really done with. You're finished. Do you think the Lord would just give you a strong radiation?
Angewendet hast in deinem Leben, kannst du noch bestehen?
If you would apply the strong light to you once, would you be able to withstand it? No, you won't. But praise the Lord.
Ein für alle Mal. Wie viel
the tests do not is not once for all.
Viele,
how many tests
große
do you have at the university? There are many
viele
big,
kleine,
big exams and many small tests. It's good. Otherwise, you cannot make it through one big
Prüfung.
Exam
meinst du,
only.
Can you
pass one big exam at the end of the semester? I don't think anybody can withstand it.
This is one semester,
one test, and a second semester, a bigger test, and after 10 semesters, you have gone through many tests. In the end, you come to the state exam. And in the end, you get your diploma. Isn't that wonderful? That's why this gate here is so long.
Und jedes Mal, wenn du durch
and every time, when you go through one test, then you can bear a little more responsibility. So there are 6 and 5 and 6. And in the end,
inner
threshold,
und hier
praise the Lord, you get to the inner threshold. And then number 5 is for you to bear the responsibility. Number 5 is equivalent to 4 plus 1. That means every time when we enter through this hallway and we're tested left and right, every time we go through, the more of His substance is being worked into you. And the more you receive of His substance, the more you would be able to bear the responsibility for the Lord. But it's not once for all. It would be impossible. No one can pass this test once for all, and he can do everything. No. But it's bit by bit. It's very good that the Lord still gives us these arches there. So we go through this gate, tests, left and right. And then comes the number 5. Praise the Lord, we go forward. Don't think that, oh, now I'm okay. No, no. Unfortunately, there's more to come. There's another 2 guard chambers. And then you go further again. And then you have another number 5. It is very wonderful. So we see, it's such a wonderful gate. In the entire area of the temple, the gate here
gezeigt wird.
Is the only thing where the height, the dimensions of the height is given. And how high is it? 60 cubits high. 60 cubits high is very high. How many meters?
22.
It's about 22 meters high. My goodness, can you imagine that? Have you ever seen such a gate? It's almost like a cathedral, the steeple of a cathedral. It's so that high. Why is it so high? You know, brothers and sisters, when we enter through this gate, doesn't it seem to you that you are so very small, so teeny,
or not?
Or do you think that you're so tall?
Ich bin würdig hier durch
I am worthy to enter in through this gate.
Schau mal, look. Guck mal, was ich bin hier.
Look. What I am here.
The big apostle.
I am the big apostle.
So, you see, I can come through this gate.
I can come through this gate. How about that?
Ich bin etwas Besonderes.
I'm someone special.
Ein bisschen weniger als der Apostel Paulus.
A little bit less than the Apostle Paul, perhaps even greater than he.
Solch einer bist, der
if you're such a one who enters in, do you think you can enter in further?
Du machst nur Probleme.
You will only cause problems.
Wer hier reinkommt, du brauchst
whoever
nur die
enters
Größe
in, you just have to take a look at the greatness, the grandeur. It says, oh my goodness, how high is it? Then you would realize how small you are. The more you enter in, the smaller you become.
Ich habe gesehen,
I have seen some who entered into the church, they thought that they were so great. They thought they knew everything. And they thought that they have to have this and that positions, whereby we have no positions in the church. But when we come in through this gate, it would do us well for us to see that we're all so small. Only the Lord is great. Only those who do not know the Lord would think that they're so great and the church would need me. And without me, where would the churches be today? You have to give everything. I know how to build a church. So, good. I'll give you a training. Isn't that great? My goodness. Do you think that the Lord was like this? The Lord was the greatest. And yet he left everything and he lowered himself. And so all those who enter in through this gate,
you would
notice actually how great the Lord is.
I think,
and many can tell you of their experience here, the more we enter in, the smaller you become. In the beginning, you think you're so quite big. But when you get here, you realize you're very small. And if you're even bigger, you think that the more you enter in, you become bigger. It's only because that we can roast you later. Because you are fat and ready to be roasted. To be eaten. No, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. We learn in the house of the Lord that only the Lord is great and no one else. Whoever really knows the Lord will realize how small we are. What did John the Baptist say? He has to decrease and I have to increase. Did John say that? Don't say amen so quickly. But it is that he has to increase and I have to decrease. Not the other way around. Not the other way around. Do you think that Paul meant that he was such a great apostle? Did the Lord not say, without me you can do nothing? Apart from me you can do nothing? So here it is very notable that in the entire dimensions of the temple compound, only here the height is mentioned. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Do you know why? Because the height shows that it's majestic. It's so great. Something great. And only in this entrance you already have to see that the Lord alone is great. No one else is great in the church. And then we also take note the sanctuary that the Lord wants to build. I'm sorry, it's already very late. I forgot the time, about the time. The sanctuary that the Lord wants to build. With the sanctuary, the importance is not the size that is great. Man always wants to make it great. Look at the Vatican. It's so great. Look at the many groups. They want to do a great work. They boast about their greatness. But there, the size, the greatness is not mentioned. The Lord did not mention that. It's not a matter of size, but it's a matter of a holiness. What is important for the Lord in the church is not how great it is. That it's a great work, and we boast and look at us. How many people do you have? Only? Oh, look at our work. What kind of a work have you done? How many are in your church? What? Only 10? 10? Our meeting has thousands. Is that your boast? I'd rather have 10 holy ones rather than 1,000 unholy ones. Or, for the Lord, one who is holy is more worthwhile than 10,000 who are unholy. Or would you rather have 10,000 who are unholy? Rather have 10 holy ones. 10 saints. Like with Gideon. How many remained? 300. Out of how many? You see? Do you want the numbers? The Lord is not for numbers.
So here, sehen wir, lobt den Herrn.
So here, praise the Lord, we see already at the entrance, the first lesson that you need to learn is that only the Lord is great in His house. No one else is great. You would like to be great, sooner or later you'll be flying out. The wall is not so high that you can't fly out. Whoever wants to be great in the house of the Lord cannot stay in the church very long.
So müssen wir diese Lektion lernen.
So we have to learn this lesson. I do apologize that it's got stretched out so long. I do apologize. Normally I should stop at 9.
Aber heute Abend,
but tonight,
was kann ich machen?
What can I do?
Dieses Tor ist zu lang.
This gate is too long. Lord Jesus. So tomorrow we'll continue. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.